Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning, and boy, is it good to be back. I'm glad that you're here with us. I'm glad that you're with us online. It is good for us to be together in worship, adding our voices to those across time and space, giving praise to God. We have Sunday school bags in the back. So if there are children here, if you have children who will be visiting at your home, if there are children in your neighborhood that you like to tease or grab or do something, there are Sunday school bags, a way for them to have a story and a craft and to discover how much it is that God really loves them. We will not be having Sunday school in between services today for the children, but we do have Sunday school bags. All right. This Thursday, our Bible study continues on the Gospel of John. We're looking at chapters 3 and 4. So if you are wanting to take a deeper dive into some of the scriptures that we have, you can join us in the parlor. We meet at 6:30 on Thursday evening, so be with us for that. The thrift shop coat drive is coming soon. It is this coming Saturday, October 9th. So I don't know how many more coats we need, but of course, coats are always a good thing to have to help keep our neighbors warm this winter. But we also need people to help set things up. This coming Friday, the 8th, anytime after 1 o'clock, we need to sort of move racks over and bins full of coats over and all the rest of that. We also need people to help us on Saturday the 9th with the distribution. So please help as you are able. And if you cannot be with us physically, please keep the thrift shop and this effort in your prayers. Sunday, October 24th. That's in a couple of weeks, but it's only a couple of weeks. We're going to have a cookout right after the 10:30 service, all right? The grills will be going, and we hope the weather will cooperate. So I want you to plan on joining us. I want you to bring a side dish of your choice to share so that we can, all of us, celebrate God's goodness with an autumn cookout. This year at the annual meeting, we will have a new constitution to vote on. All right. This week, we should be emailing them to everyone who has an email address with us here at church, and we should be, there will be copies available where we usually leave the newsletter. So please take a look at it. It's just making sure that we have everything updated. So there we are. There's lots of other excellent. In just a little bit, we're going to be hearing a temple talk from Ms. Kent Money, and I hope that you're excited about that, because if you're not now, hopefully you will be afterwards. All right, so look forward to that. I'm going to preach anyway. So sorry. There are lots of other announcements in the bulletin. I hope you have a chance to read through them and discover ways that you can plug into the ministry that happens around here. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. So, will the congregation please rise? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is Blessed Be Your Name, and we sing together.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I bound in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Sun shining down on me when the world's all it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, but there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for the life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 2, beginning at the 18th verse. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Jesus answered them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to the disciples, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it take? What does it mean to be human? I mean, is it really just biological? You know, we are bipedal hominids with a large brain pan. To me, that really means that I'm not a squirrel. But is that really what it means, or all that it means, to be human? We are an animal, a creature that has the capacity to think and communicate, to write and remember. But is that all that it takes for us to be human? You see, in that Old Testament reading we heard today, we watch as God creates humans. Well, actually, Adam, the male to begin with. And in this creation story, the rest of creation, from the garden that the man lives in to everything else, is made because of a truth that God realizes. It is not good that the man should be alone. God, in this passage, realizes what it takes to make us truly human. Relationships. We are human when we are together. When we have one another or many others with whom we can connect. That's what makes us human. All right? The pictures I was showing in the children's sermon come from, I have in the past done a Crossways Bible Institute, Bible's Big Story, which I usually call, walking through the Bible in 90 minutes or less. All right? And they use pictures to sort of help us all. Right? And in that series, the first picture we see is this one. You know, this is the symbol for God, no beginning, no ending, reaching across in all directions. But to me, this is it. When God created us as humans, he made us to be together. And if you notice their arms, they're up there in receptive mode. All right? We are male and we are female, and our arms are raised in gratitude. They are raised to show our relationship with God, and we are together showing our relationship. This is our human nature. This is what we're supposed to be. From the very beginning, God created us that way, so that the man would not be alone, so that we would have helper as our partner, so that together we could begin living God's dream. But you see, the next image we get of man and woman, male and female, is that sinful one. And if you notice, their arms go from being up and receptive and all the rest of that to very much like a 3-year-old daughter. I'm not very happy with you. It's all about me. Sin enters. The relationship with God is broken. The relationship between us is broken. And that is our human condition. Our human nature is to be together in relationship. Our human condition is that fallenness and fallen into sin. And it's that falling into our sinfulness that leads to that question, what does it mean to be human? Because we don't readily know what's going on because we are trapped in that sinfulness. We have fallen into it. We are stuck worrying only and ever about ourselves. Our human condition of sin is something that we cannot escape from ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much effort we put into getting out of that sinfulness ourselves, we are still trapped in that selfishness. Throughout the Old Testament, we hear stories about God's love being poured out. And instead of understanding and appreciating that love, we try to make that love work on our terms instead of God's terms. From covenants with Abraham and Moses, we humans failed to recognize the love given and the blessing that we could become. We cheated one another. We lived for ourselves, even in the face of messages from the prophets who gave us words from God. And then Jesus came. You see, Jesus is God's final answer to our way back to our human nature, that receptive and in relationship. Jesus is the way to leave our human condition of sin and enter once again into our relationship with God. From Jesus' birth and baptism, from his temptation and his teaching, from his healing and feeding, Jesus is showing us what true relationship looks like. Jesus is showing us God's dream in action. Jesus is showing God his love by loving and caring for all of us. And Jesus is showing the world what the transforming power of God's love looks like. This morning in the gospel story, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's on his way to face stronger and stronger opposition. The early part of his ministry is now over. And while Jesus is still showing whoever it is that will pay attention what the power of God's love looks like to change lives, Jesus is also heading to face opposition. To face people who will now try to stop him, who will try to denigrate him, who will try to make him look foolish and try to destroy Jesus' reputation. They don't want Jesus to change lives because they're still trapped in that human condition of sin. And in today's story, it is a group of Pharisees that is the opposition. And they're going to try to trip Jesus up with a question about divorce. You see, as good and pious men, these Pharisees thought that it reflected poorly on a man who divorces, but they also knew that it was allowed. And so they asked Jesus an open-ended question, hoping to lure him into some statement that they can pounce on and twist to their own advantage. Jesus' response is classic Jesus. They ask, "Can a man divorce his wife?" And he answers their question with a question. What do you find in Scripture? What do you already know that Moses has already told you? And they say that Moses allows for a certificate of divorce. They say it is allowed, it is used by many. Jesus is not finished teaching them because Jesus goes on to remind them and all of us that it is not good for us to be alone and that God intends for us to be in relationship with each other. God intends that our relationships will be mutual and loving, that our relationships will be about care and service for one another. God intends that we will show God how much we love God by loving and caring for each other, whether that's a husband or wife, children, grandchildren, friends, co-workers, neighbors, even strangers. And when we live contrary to that relationship, we live in sin. When we divorce one another, when we betray one another, when we pick on each other or ignore each other, when we belittle each other or fail to recognize the humanity around us, we are living in that human condition of sin. The Mosaic certificate of divorce was used by many so that they could divorce without guilt. Literally, a man could just sign a certificate and the wife was done. There were men who would divorce their wives for burning the roast, for being too old because they only had daughters or they liked someone else now. We think of those as only modern problems, but that's not it. These certificates were used to sort of leave another high and dry, and the guy who didn't have to feel bad because Moses told me I could. Jesus reminds us that sin is never guilt-free. It should never be easy or thoughtless to use another or to cause distress. But Jesus also lives the truth that sin is never forgiveness-free either. And Jesus is always leading us to forgiveness and love. Jesus, in his life and death and resurrection, opens the floodgates of God's love on all of us, opens the floodgates of God's forgiving love that brings us back to our human nature, brings us back to that nature of relationship, of receptivity and gratitude. Today, Jesus points to children who are coming to him, and he says that this is how we need to approach God. This is how we need to approach one another. Not that children are without sin, but children are always open. Children are dependent and they know it, and children can show us the appropriate way to relate to God with surprise, wonder, gratitude, and obedience. We can, all of us, be surprised by the grace and forgiveness that God's love gives to us. We can live in the wonder of the relationship that God wants to have with us and that God wants to have with each other. We can live in gratitude for the gifts and the goodness, the opportunities and the challenges that come to us every day. And finally, we get to live in obedience to the call that comes from God, that call to love one another with a love that comes from God himself. Surprise, wonder, gratitude, obedience. That is our life as children of God. That is us living our human nature. Our human condition of sin still rears its ugly head every day. We are not cured of our sinfulness, but we are forgiven every day. Jesus comes to us in love. And whenever we fail, and we will, over and over again, Jesus is there to pick us up, to brush us off, to forgive us again, and set us on a path that will allow us to be truly human once more. Like the instructions that you can read on a bottle of shampoo or other cleaning products, you know, it says lather, rinse, repeat, or repeat as needed. God's love calls us to live lives of surprise, wonder, gratitude, and obedience, and then repeat as needed. What does it mean to be human? It means that we get to go with Christ into the world, making God's vision for love and beauty into our mission of love and care. And we get to do that together. Amen. Please rise. In celebration of our baptism, I invite you to join me as we confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy One, you have raised up faithful leaders throughout history. Empower those discerning a call to ministry and all seminarians, that they continue to be formed for the sake of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, you have established a diverse and beautiful creation. Revive declining species and preserve endangered lands. Cultivate in us a sense of wonder for the world you have created. Lord, in your mercy, you desire for us not to be alone and to live in community with one another. Strengthen relationships between nations and peoples, that we celebrate and support one human family. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for husbands and wives, mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters, that they may show the world what your love looks like and how we love one another. We pray especially today for Brandon and Clara, married here yesterday, that they may live out the love they pledged before you so that others might be blessed. Lord, in your mercy, you share in our experiences and struggles. Bless all who live with any mental or physical disability. Inspire creative communities, spaces, and environments that are acceptable, accessible, and hospitable. Lord, in your mercy, you have established and nurtured relationships that extend beyond those gathered here today. Bless members who no longer can travel to worship with us, and remind us of their continued role in this community of faith. Lord, in your mercy, you promise eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the people of faith who have gone before us. Strengthen our trust that we have in you. Lord, in your mercy, receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I want you all to stay safe and stay healthy as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision and our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.